From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Jay Barrett. Coming up on this first show of the new year, what could widespread record warmth in 2016 mean for Alaska's fisheries in 2017 and beyond? Also, can the guy who makes your rain slicker make a better rubber boot? All that and more coming up on the Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
A climate report for 2016 that was released this week paints a daunting picture of a warming Alaska that threatens not just the largest fisheries in the state, but some of the largest in the world. Rick Toman, Climate Science and Services Manager for the National Weather Service Alaska Region in Fairbanks, looked at temperatures around the whole state for all of 2016 and found it was more than just pleasantly warm.
The persistence of the warmth was really the highlight of 2016. Most places, if you draw a line from Anchorage to Seward southward, and then draw that line from Anchorage to the Pribilofs, the kind of the southwest quarter of the state, almost every place had more than 80% of days were warmer than normal in 2016. That is just stunning.
That 80% equals 293 of the 366 days in the leap year. Many places in the interior and panhandle set similar high marks as the southwest quarter. But in Kodiak, Toman says the average temperature was so much higher than normal that it crushed a record that stood for almost 100 years.
1926 is really the highlight of, is the warmest year over much of the state in the first half of the 20th century. Now, of course, especially before the 1920s, we don't have a lot of information. But for coastal Alaska, there's enough that we can be pretty confident 1926 was kind of the bellwether warm year, and this year exceeded that. And so that really puts it in that, that really long-term century-scale context.
The amount above normal was just over 4 degrees Fahrenheit, which may not sound significant, but it was for the whole year.
A stunningly few days were below average. In fact, during 2016 in Kodiak, a remarkable 86% of days were above normal, only 14% below normal. Really shocking.
86% of last year's days is 315 of them. From experience, I can tell you that last summer was not exceptionally warm in Kodiak, not like 2015 when there were wildfires in the rainforest. That's because, as Toman notes, at these latitudes, it's going to be the increases in winter temperature that drive the average up.
Summers actually will have much less effect on the average annual temperature because the range of variability in the summer is much smaller. You know, if it's 2 degrees above normal in Kodiak in July, that's a fairly large departure because temperatures are so confined. In the winter, temperatures can range over a much wider range. So your cold season temperatures really have the biggest influence.
But as for the warmth's effect on fish and their spawning grounds, that, Toman says, is a question that will have to be answered by someone else.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K-12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska, creating partnerships that are flexible, family-friendly, and unique to your child. More information is available at AK Teach or at 907-942-0667.
A couple of years ago, the organizers of Kodiak's annual End of the Winter Fishing Season Party, Crab Festival, partnered with Extra Tough, the makers of the ubiquitous brown rubber boot found on nearly every foot in coastal Alaska. This year, Crab Fest organizers have approached the makers of another iconic brand of fishing gear, Grundon's. The name brings to mind waterproof bibs and slickers that fishermen, processors, and quite frankly, just those who want to look stylish in a fishing town would wear to protect themselves from wind and waves in the wet. Stephanie De La Garza, Community Relations Director for the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce, manages Crab Festival. She said the Extra Tough partnership 2 years ago worked out so well, they wanted to try something like it again.
Last year, we started thinking, I wonder if there's any other iconic brands that would be interested in doing something with Crab Fest. And so Grundon's was our first thought. And we actually touched base with them at the Pacific Marine Expo and talked to the president of their United States region, who agreed to allow us to use the brand.
De La Garza says Grundon's is not offering the chamber any monetary compensation, though full details of the partnership are yet to be worked out. You're listening to the Alaska Fisheries Report. Hear the whole show online anytime at kmxt.org or via the NPR One app on that brand new mobile phone you got for Christmas.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family. AMSEA at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
Speaking of fishing gear, when it comes to footwear favored by Alaska's fishermen, Extra Tough has long had their foot in the door. But a few years ago, when parent company Honeywell transferred the boots' manufacturing to China, some customers were less than satisfied when some of the boots began falling apart after just one season. KDLG's Dave Benninger has more about a new deck boot that made its debut at Pacific Marine Expo in Seattle.
Extra Tufts did improve their product, but the boot chatter this year was on account of a new entry into the market developed and designed by this guy.
Mike Jackson, President Grundon's USA.
Yes, that Grundon's, the one so many of Alaska fishermen trust for the rain gear they practically live in during the season. Jackson started Grundon's USA in 1991, and prior to that he fished Alaska's waters, purse seining and gill netting in southeast, longlining in the Gulf of Alaska, and crab fishing in the Bering Sea. He says he knows the importance of the gear fishermen wear, and he spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to make a better boot.
It came from all those years on deck and standing on deck and being uncomfortable wallowing around in my own perspiration, and I couldn't help but think that there wasn't a way to celebrate the athlete and fisherman. Any guy running up and down the stack, or any guy piling web, any guy pulling in a gill net in Bristol Bay, those are all athletic endeavors. And you've got people on basketball courts that have got footwear that allows them to perform at their best. And what I set out to do was develop something that allowed fishermen to perform at their best.
Grundon's new Deck Boss boot is gray with orange trim above the sole. Jackson says he had some basic criteria in mind as he set about the design.
We have to start with the non-slip. Non-slip on a wet metal or wooden surface is a real critical aspect of a boot for a fisherman. Secondly, it has to be incredibly comfortable. It has to have a fold-down feature so that when you're not working, you want to be able to roll the top down. And you have to have, your foot becomes a tool, so you have to be able to kick. You have to be able to move stuff around with your foot. So we had to harden up the toe a little bit without putting a steel toe in, because steel toes tend to get really cold.
Grundon's deck boot differs from its competition beyond appearances. One major difference is that the boot is all one piece of rubber constructed using injection molding. That avoids the glued seams that pull apart and defeat the waterproofing, and also allowed Jackson to play around with the other new features.
Like reliefs that allow it to flex a little better, to build up the area in the heel to provide a little bit more support, and to actually give it a little bit of styling. And one of the features that this has as a result of this process too is a groove in the boot that allows the boot, we call it the boot band, and everybody knows what the rubber bands are to gather your pants together. So we were able to engineer that relief into the shaft of the boot, so this boot band has a place to live all the time.
Something Jackson is particularly proud of is a unique insole that keeps the wearer's foot slightly above the bottom of the boot, and thus above water or sweat that collects in rubber boots. He calls it a bilge. There's also a cavity in the heel that allows for more than 1 inch of foam,
which renders the boot incredibly comfortable. So when you have the opportunity to just kick back into your heel you drop into like, it's like a mattress. I mean, it's this sense of relief. And what we have been witnessing here at the show time after time again, when people try on these boots, is there's this slow spreading smile across their face of somewhat disbelief. And then they say, oh my God, are you kidding? Is this for real?
Grundon's USA is building their new boots in the Pacific Northwest, and they hope to roll them out next spring ahead of the summer fishing season. Jackson says they'll be priced competitively, and he believes fishermen will trust the company name and give this new boot a chance.
We have every confidence that this boot will perform every bit as good as our rain gear does.
Across the expo hall, Extra Tufts had a busy stream of traffic as consumers checked out their latest lineup, which includes a lot of stylish new waterproof rubber footwear practical for more than just fishing. Bo Tai is an associate product manager for parent company Honeywell. Word spread quick that Extra Tufts were preparing to launch something new of their own and that they were partnering with the Salmon Sisters.
So in February of 17, we're launching three boots with them. They designed exclusively two patterns for us on the inside of boots. So as many Alaskans know, they roll Extra Tufts down. So we enlisted them to design two specific designs for us, and it's been really well received in the community.
Rumor on the street is that there's a new Extra Tuft fishing boot coming out next year. Can you say anything at this point?
At this point, no. My lips are sealed, but expect it in the next half year or so, and I will say it will be huge.
In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
Here's an item of interest for fishy college football fans. Washington Representative Susan Del Benny was so confident that her fourth-ranked University of Washington Huskies would defeat top-ranked Alabama in last week's Peach Bowl that she wagered some prized Puget Sound wild salmon against some Southern-style barbecue ribs proffered by Alabama Representative Terry Sewell. Del Benny taunted her fellow Democrat from Alabama, saying the Crimson Tide has had a prestigious history in college football, but that this game would not turn out peachy for them. If you watched, you saw that the New Year's Eve game did turn out just fine for Bama, which rolled over the Dogs 24-7. The Tide, seeking a second consecutive championship, now have a rematch against Clemson. The Tigers made the championship game by dismantling the Ohio State University 31-0 in the Fiesta Bowl. No word on how Washington Representative Del Benny will be preparing Representative Sewell salmon.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KDLG's Dave Benninger in Dillingham and KMXT's Kayla DeRoche in Kodiak. I'm Shane Barrett.